How is correction made? How is correction made?
How is correction made? How do you make correction? How do you really make correction? From a course perspective, how is correction made?
And I'm going to start a paragraph. Let's just go through the whole thing real quick. I'm going to make sure I got this one. It says, correction of a lasting nature. Correction of a lasting nature, and only correction of a lasting nature is true correction. Correction of a lasting nature cannot be made until the teacher of God has ceased confusing interpretation with fact or illusion with truth. If you argue with a person about a magic thought, which is an ego thought, a fear thought, a worldly thought, if you attack it, if you try to establish its error, if you try to demonstrate that what they're thinking is false, you're just witnessing to its reality. So then you get depressed because you prove to both the person and yourself that it's your task to escape from what is real. Escaping from what is real can only be impossible. Reality is changeless, and magic thoughts or ego thoughts are nothing but illusions. Otherwise, salvation, which is healing, would be only the same age-old impossible dream in but another form. Yet the dream of salvation, the dream of healing, that's what salvation means, has a new content, is not the form alone in which the difference lies. So God's teachers, your major lesson is to learn how to react to ego thoughts, fear thoughts, insane thoughts of the world, totally without anger. Your major lesson to learn is how to react to this without getting mad. Our major lesson is to learn how to react to this without getting mad.
Isn't it good that we can laugh about it?
it's beginning to work. He says, only by reacting to this without getting angry can you proclaim the truth about yourself. Through somebody who's reacting to this without getting angry, the Holy Spirit can now speak of the reality of the Son of God. Now the Holy Spirit, the voice for truth, can remind the world of sinlessness, the one unchanged, unchangeable condition of all that God created. And now the Holy Spirit in you, because you're not getting angry at this stuff, can speak the word of God to listening ears and bring Christ's vision to eyes that see. Now is the Holy Spirit, the truth in you, because you're not getting mad at this, is free to teach all minds the truth of what they are so that they can gladly be returned to Him. Now is guilt forgiven, overlooked completely in Holy Spirit's sight and in God's Word. Every time you get mad, anger but screams, guilt is real. So when you're angry, you're screaming, guilt is real. Then the reality that's love is blotted out. It's this insane belief that guilt is real. It's taken as replacement for God's Word, which is that you're innocent. Now that you see everything as guilty, your body's eyes now see, its ears alone can hear, its little space and tainted breath become the measure of reality, and truth becomes diminutive and meaningless. Correction has one answer to all of this, and to the world that rests on this. Correction has one answer to all of this. You but mistake your interpretation for the truth, and you are wrong. But a mistake is not a sin, nor has reality been taken from its throne by your mistakes. Reality hasn't been taken from its throne by your mistakes. God reigns forever, and God's laws alone prevail upon you and upon the world. God's love remains the only thing there is. Fear is an illusion, for you are like God. In order to heal, which the Course says, undo fear. It defines healing as the undoing of fear. So in order to heal, it thus becomes essential for you, the demonstrator, the teacher of God. You're the teacher of God. You're the teacher of love. So it becomes essential for you to let all your own mistakes be corrected in order to heal. It's essential that you let all your own mistakes be corrected in order to heal. It's essential that you let all your own mistakes be corrected. If you sense even the slightest hint of irritation in yourself as you respond to anyone, I'll say it again. If you sense even the faintest hint of irritation in yourself as you respond to anyone, even your mama, let you instantly realize that you have made an interpretation that is not true. If you sense even the faintest hint of irritation in yourself when you respond to anyone, instantly realize that you made an interpretation that's not true. If you sense even the faintest hint of irritation as you respond to anyone, instantly realize that you have made an interpretation that is wrong. Then let you turn within to your eternal guide, and let your eternal guide, let the love in you, let the truth in you, let God in you judge what the response should be. The sole responsibility, I love it, it says, so are you healed. If you let the Holy Spirit judge what your response should be, you are healed, and in your healing is the person, which is your pupil, healed with you. The sole responsibility of God's teacher is to accept the atonement for themselves. The Course says the atonement means the correction of error, the undoing of fear. So we could say that the sole responsibility that you have is to accept the correction of error, the undoing of fear for yourself. So your only responsibility is to accept the truth for yourself. Your only responsibility is to accept the truth for yourself. Your only responsibility is to accept the truth for yourself. Your only responsibility is to accept the truth for yourself. Your only responsibility is to accept this for yourself. Your only responsibility is for you to accept this for yourself. What did I just say? My only responsibility is to accept this for myself. What is it? My only responsibility is to accept this for myself. That to say your only responsibility is to get everybody else around you to accept it.
No.
See, that's what kicks our butt every time. Because if I can focus on you, I sure in the heck don't have to look at myself. If I can just put all my focus on what you need to do to change, I do not have to look at myself. That's why people like to do it. It makes you think you're doing good things while you're really avoiding your own issues. But they don't know that anything they see in anybody else is their issue. So even if you are focused on everybody else, everything you want to correct in them is in your own mind and is your problem. So they're really getting you in touch with what's wrong with you, if you would be that honest with yourself. You're so selfish. So thank you for reminding me of my selfish thoughts in my own mind. That's what you do if you're doing it right. You would immediately know that whatever you were seeing in somebody else was just something that was going on in your own mind. And so you immediately would start to correct that error in your own self. You wouldn't say nothing to the person at all, probably. I got a feeling that once you get really, really conscious, it'll look just like you're doing nothing. Because all you're doing is letting everybody else be and correcting your own thinking. So to anybody looking at you, it just looks like you're sitting up there. They call you uninvolved. They call you uninterested. And they don't know you're actually doing more correction than anybody in the room. Okay, so let me go back over that section in my own personal way so that we can hear it again. Okay, it says, how is correction made? Now, it starts off by saying that, first of all, that unless we have a correction that lasts, you really haven't been corrected unless it lasts. Agree?
Mm-hmm.
A real correction is something that lasts. And the Course is saying, now, we won't have a real correction in any area of our life until we stop confusing the way we interpret things as necessarily being the facts. If you argue with the person and you try to prove to them that what they're thinking is wrong or their ideas are wrong, the Course says all you're doing is witnessing to the power of it, and you're making it so powerful that now you got to try to escape from this powerful error that you just made so real. Now all of a sudden all y'all got to escape from this error that you see is so real, which is impossible, because the Course says you can't escape from what's real, because if it's real, you can't get away from it. That's how you can tell what's real from what's not real. If it's real, it's always available, it's always there. If it's unreal, it's temporary. It's just that simple. Then it says that you're going to get depressed, because the more you argue with the person and try to get them to see it your way, you get depressed. And we all know that happens. You totally get depressed because you keep trying to convince the person that they got to escape from something that's real. And so the Course says that really we're supposed to take a totally different approach. And our different approach is, all day long I know that my major lesson to learn is how to react to this insanity without getting mad. That's a whole different track. I'm here to learn how to react to what the ego does without getting angry about it. I'm here to learn how to stop. This is the ultimate anger management school. Earth is the ultimate anger management school. We're here. We're a bunch of people who get mad, learning how to not get mad about the stuff we get mad about. That's what everybody's learning according to the course in their own way. They're learning how to not get mad all the time, upset all the time. This is so simple that it makes me sick, because I remember saying I couldn't understand this, and it was really complicated. It's not, just think about it. It just told me that, Earl, if you really want to have a correction that lasts for a long time, you got to stop confusing your interpretations of things with necessarily being the truth. You got to know how to tell the difference between what's really going on and what you think is going on. That's number one. That's a very simple concept. Then it tells me, if I argue with the person, which means if I try to demonstrate the falsity of whatever it is that they're thinking, I'm only witnessing to its reality, making it real, I'm going to get depressed, which is what I do. And he says, that's not the way. He just says, point blank, that's not the way. Well, okay, then I go, my mind goes, well, what's the way? Then it says, well, I'll tell you what the way is. First of all, you need to understand that your goal is to learn how to react to the ego without getting mad. React to your own worry, your own upset, your own depression, your own anger, your own whatever it is. You learn how to react to yourself without getting upset. You're learning how to stop getting upset with yourself. Because when you stop getting upset with yourself, Earl, you'll stop having people getting upset with you. Because they're just a reflection of you upset with yourself. He says, that's the only way you can proclaim the truth about yourself, because if you say you want to be this spiritual being, and you say you want to be this loving person, and you want to say you want to be peasy-weasy, and you want to be the person in the world that's just reflecting the love, right? Well, you can't be that way if you're pissed off all the time. If you're mad at everybody, I'm sorry. You're not a great God representative. Right? So he says, the once that you have peace because you've learned how to not get mad about everything, now love, God, truth can speak to you and start using you to communicate with people and get them to understand that they're totally innocent and they're totally loving, and you can finally start giving the message that will transform your world, because now you are somebody that's a worthwhile witness to God. And the only reason why you're mad is because you're trying to convince somebody about something anyway. You know, whether you're trying to convince somebody they're wrong, get them to see it your way, or whatever. That's what you're mad about anyway, is your script. Your script is really what got you mad. Okay, so he says, now, then he goes on to the next paragraph, and then he says, when you're angry, what's happening is that you're screaming guilt is real. Now, the once you scream that guilt is real because you're mad about something, he says you obviously blotted out the love. Hello, if I'm mad, I've obviously blotted out the peace, right? And so he says, well, if you've done that, all of a sudden you just see through your body nothing but a witness to the idea that guilt is real. All of a sudden, when you look, he says, when you look through your eyes, all you see is justification for your anger. He says, that's what happens. He says, the minute you make guilt real, your body just witnesses to it. And the purpose of your body is to be your communication medium. So your body automatically starts witnessing to the idea that guilt is real. He says, and all of a sudden you become a body. And this is all you. Now all of a sudden, you're just a human being, just taking up this little space. And he says, the reason why that's so is because you're mad. You're so mad you're a body. I went, what? You're so angry, you are now a body. Then I got scared. Then it said, well, the correction has one answer to all this, and the world that rests on this. I like this when the court says, okay, I know you already analyzed it, Earl. I know you already analyzed this and figured this all out and break it all down. You don't understand it. How can it be this way? Your motor getting all cranked up. Your analyzation motor is, you know, it's like getting all ready to figure this out, right? He said, well, correction has one answer to all of this. You should just say this to yourself. First of all, you're mistaking your interpretation for being the truth, and you're wrong. That's the first thing you got to admit, is that if you're angry, you're wrong. Even though my mind is going to come up with all the justifications for me being mad. Hello, although my mind is going to come up with a million justifications for me being mad. Hello, even though my mind is going to come up with a million justifications for me being upset.
Hello.
Hello, are you hearing me? Okay, then he says, then you tell yourself that I'm wrong. Then he says, now the next thing to get to is being wrong is no big deal. that you got to get to the level of consciousness where making a mistake is not seen as a sin. We got to let go of this idea of thinking that mistake is a sin. In other words, the reality that God created, the reality that we came from, what is real is totally unaffected by any mistake that you make. Anything that's real is totally unaffected by any mistake that you make. Anything that's real is totally unaffected by any error you ever make. He says, you got to realize that. Reality has not been taken from its throne just because you made a mistake. The whole universe is not coming to a crashing halt because you made a mistake. He said, you need to really get that, Earl. You hear me? You know, no matter what you're feeling bad about, no matter what you think your mistake is, no matter what you feel guilt about, no matter what you feel guilt about, no matter what you think you should have done differently, no matter what you're beating yourself up about, you have not had one iota of effect on reality. Your mistake has not changed one thing about reality. He says, there's some peace in that thought if you let yourself have it. There's some real peace in these ideas if you love yourself, and I love myself enough to just let myself hear them. Even though I'm going to try to tear them to pieces later, I can hear it right now. Anybody else? Okay, then he goes on and says, God rules forever. It could be a bumper sticker. God reigns forever. The truth reigns forever. Spirit reigns forever. What is real reigns forever, and its laws alone prevail upon you and on the world. So I need to understand that no matter what mistakes I've made, I have not affected reality, and that God is still in charge and God's laws rule forever, and there's not a doggone thing I can do to change God's laws of love. There's peace in that thought. Then it says God's love remains the only thing there is. The only thing that really exists is the love of the universe. The only thing that does exist is the love of the universe. The only thing that does exist is the love of God. The only thing that does exist is the love of God. And fear by its very nature is an illusion. Fear is a false idea because fear doesn't last. Okay. You with me on that one? All right. Then it goes on to say, now, if you really want to heal in the situation that you're in, it's essential for you to let all your own mistakes be corrected. That's the way out, is to let my own financial mistakes be corrected. Let my own health mistakes be corrected. Let all my own relationship mistakes be corrected. Let all my own career choices. So you can apply the truth to anything. We don't just have to be applying it to spiritual stuff. You can apply the truth to anything. That's what I like about it. I don't try to figure out what to apply the truth. Is it okay to apply the course to get in the parking space? Is it okay to apply the course? You just should be applying the course just to get back to God. You know, I apply the course on everything. Everything. That way I don't have to figure it out. The worst thing, oh yeah, I'm going to be killed for using the laws of God in the parking space situation. Come on, give me a break. I need to learn how to use these laws every time I'm doing anything so I won't forget them. Rather than trying to figure out when is it okay to use them. You use them all the time. Okay? So here's what makes me mad. What makes me mad is the fact that in order to be healed, I have to let my own mistakes be corrected. I don't like that. And I'll tell you something else I don't like. I don't like the idea that if I feel irritation in myself, I'm wrong. It's the other person's fault. I don't like that. And since I'm mad, I already think I know what's going on. So it's going to be hard for me to turn within to my eternal guidance. And then I'm mad at you, but I'm supposed to stop and say, Holy Spirit, what is it I need to do? Because I'm going to kill him right now, which means I have a wrong interpretation. And that is a wrong interpretation to want to kill him. It is a wrong interpretation to want to hit him upside the head. What about if he's getting ready to mug you? Do the best you can in the moment. Do whatever you have to do in the moment. And know that reality still is okay. God is still in charge. Everything's going to be all right. Because you can only act from the highest level of consciousness that you're on at the time. And if you're on that level of consciousness at that time where you feel like you need to physically attack the person, then you're going to physically attack the person. So it's going to be, can you see it as being a mistake later? Can you see it as being a call for love? Can you see it as you're still innocent? Can you see it still? You know, can you not get mad at yourself about making that mistake later on? Because that's your major lesson to learn, is how you can do this stuff without getting mad at yourself. So can I really be a lousy, stupid, horrible person all day and not get upset with myself about it? If I am, I'm on the way to spiritual enlightenment. So if you're a really crappy person and you're pretty satisfied with yourself, you're already there. You there, huh? I tell you, a correct perception is so simple we refuse to use it. The last, I will not accept any idea that makes me okay the way I am. Any idea that makes me okay the way I am is unacceptable, because I don't like the way I am. But if I could not get mad at myself for being the way I am, the Holy Spirit could use me, and love could come through me, and that love could transform my environment and heal everything that's bothering me today. If I ever become a clear channel for God to work through. That's what it's telling us. God can take over in your life. The infinite intelligence can take over. But let me tell you, they can't get through your anger. Because your anger is saying, get rid. So the first thing people go is, well, I need to get rid of my anger. No. You need to get rid of getting upset with yourself about getting angry. Get rid of getting upset with yourself about getting angry. Don't set the goal of getting rid of your anger, because you know you won't. That's a trick. It's a total trick. To set the goal of, well, let me see if I can make sure I don't get mad anymore. Well, yeah, there are ways to look at things that will show you how not to get mad anymore. That's what the book is full of. But it would be better for you to learn that you're innocent even if you get mad. That's easier than trying to get rid of my anger. Okay, then it says, so are you healed. So what does that mean? I go with me and I'm mad. That means, okay, I'm making an interpretation that's not true, because I feel a whole lot of irritation right now. So I need to turn within. I need to ask my higher self, what should my response be? And whatever that response is, that's what I'll do. Now, I'm not going to tell you what that response should be, because that response will vary from situation to situation, circumstance to circumstance. There is no cut and dry rule. But you did turn within, and you let your inner self tell you what the response should be. He says, when you listen to your own inner self, then you are healed, and the other person is healed with you, because your only responsibility was to accept the truth for yourself anyway. And he says atonement, this is where I get these definitions. He says atonement means correction or the undoing of error. So when you hear me say these definitions, I promise you I'm not making them up. I'm just saying something that the book says to take some of the mysticism out of some of the terms. Like atonement, that's a mystifying term. But if you hear undoing of fear, correction of error, all of a sudden, oh, Christ can be a mystifying term. But if I say to you, the Course says the Christ is your real loving self, all of a sudden Christ isn't in such a mystical way I've thought. Christ makes more sense to me now. My loving mind, my loving self. So the Course says, when you have accepted the correction of error for yourself, then you become a miracle worker by definition. You are a miracle worker just because you have accepted the truth for yourself. Just because you got some sense, you're a miracle worker. He said, because I got some sense now. I'm seeing things correctly, so now I'm a miracle worker. And he says, that means that my sins have been forgiven me. I feel like, hey, I'm cool, I'm innocent no matter what. So what does that mean? Well, that means that I'm no longer going to condemn myself. Hello, I'm not going to condemn myself anymore, because I've accepted the truth for myself. And the truth says Earl is cool. Earl is innocent. Earl is a child of God. Earl is not what the world has made out of him. Earl has nothing to do with that. So now I'm no longer condemning myself. And guess what? If I'm not condemning myself, I'm not going to condemn anyone else either. It wouldn't even occur to me when I stop condemning myself to condemn you. He says, and so who is it that my forgiveness couldn't heal? Who is it that wouldn't be benefited by my perception? Tell me anybody who wouldn't be benefited by my perception of them if I'm seeing them as uncondemned. Yeah, of course they benefit. So that's the whole section. Now let's talk about it a little bit. Any thoughts, any questions, any comments, any ahas, any realizations behind that? Page 47 and 48.
I spent this whole weekend being angry at everybody. A lot of different people.
So according to what you heard today, what do you think would be the attitude to take now?
But if I beat him up, it won't be a mistake. I just know that I understand. Mm-hmm. When I hear you, I internalize you later. I never internalize you when I'm hearing you.
Okay. That's fair enough.
But okay. I thought I was angry all weekend, and I was trying to figure out how I could escape that.
Right. Right. Well, one thing for sure, that if you were angry, you were mistaken your interpretation for being the truth, and you were wrong because you're angry, and that's not your goal. Your goal isn't to be angry. But don't worry about it, because making a mistake isn't sin. The universe is still in charge. Love still rules. You still an innocent child of God. This anger and upset that you're going through is really an illusion. It's a false idea. It's something that, it's really, the anger is coming from something that you told yourself. Your anger is coming from something that you told yourself about whatever it was you thought was happening. And all you have to remember is that don't get mad at yourself for that, because that's not unusual. Most people do that. Thank you for being honest enough to admit it. Yeah.
Girl, I sometimes struggle with, your example with, well, if you walk up to somebody and they mug you, I mean, that's a pretty extreme example. And at that point, I think things are kind of like in motion. Like you said, you deal with it at your highest level of consciousness. But what I struggle with are the mistakes that I make again and again, and that I know that I'm making, and I still make them. And somehow my ego justifies the mistake that I'm making. So you say that anything real is never affected by the mistake we made, but I feel like if I keep making mistakes that I know aren't giving me peace, but I do them anyways for, you know, whatever reason, how can I feel good about that?
Well, see, what's interesting is that you already are experiencing what it feels like to feel bad about it, or to condemn yourself about it. That's why it keeps repeating itself. To check this out. If the lesson is for me to learn how to react to my mistakes without anger, then until I learn how to react to my mistakes without anger, I'm going to keep on having mistakes come up to give me another opportunity to choose. So the reason why the situation keeps repeating itself, it's not really so much about the fact that you're doing something wrong so much as it is your insistence in still feeling bad about it.
Keep making these mistakes as long as I feel good about it.
All I'm saying is that as soon as you stop condemning yourself for the mistake, then there's no need for the mistake to continue, because the purpose of the mistake was to get you to the point that you learn how to stop condemning mistakes. It's almost like if I'm going to not drink orange juice, but every time a glass of orange juice is put in front of me, I drink it, then I'm going to keep on getting glasses of orange juice coming at me if I'm supposed to learn the lesson of not drinking orange juice. So how could I get the lesson of not drinking orange juice unless the orange juice shows up and I choose not to drink it, right? So we don't realize that the problems keep repeating themselves because we're insisting on not learning the learning the lesson that the problem is presenting us with, which isn't what we think the lesson is about. See, I think the lesson is about, like you said, whatever that mistake is you think you're making over and over, you think it's about that. You don't realize that it's really about you not condemning yourself for making a mistake. So how could I learn how to not condemn myself about making a mistake unless I make a mistake to not condemn myself about? So if I keep on condemning myself every time I make a mistake, I'm ordering up another mistake to give me a chance to stop condemning myself about making mistakes.
Joy.
Wow. I tell you, sometimes the answers of the course are much more nerve-wracking than the problem. But that was it. That was it. Did y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
You hear what I said? It's like you're not going to continue to make a mistake that you don't condemn yourself about. When you stop condemning yourself, the mistake has no purpose anymore. And you'll just stop doing it. Because all of us have the experience of condemning ourselves for making mistakes. Everybody in this room has done it. We know that doesn't work, and we certainly know that doesn't keep us from making mistakes. We already know that. So it's almost like we have to do it the opposite to see what happens, because we already know what happens when we do it the way we've already been doing it. You know, the person that stops smoking is the person who doesn't feel guilty about smoking. The person that stops drinking is the person that doesn't condemn themselves for drinking. It's the guilt that perpetuates the addiction. It's the condemnation that perpetuates the addiction, not the addiction itself. That's what people don't get about addictions. They think if I beat myself up for having the addiction, somehow or another this is going to make me stop having the addiction. But it doesn't. Y'all know people who beat themselves up for things they do and they don't stop doing them. We know that doesn't work. We know beating ourselves up doesn't work. But it does make us think we're good people. Yeah, because a good person would feel bad about that. Right? A good person would beat themselves up about being such a slob. You know, so we don't realize that part of our trying to be nice people is to beat the hell out of ourselves all the time. It's funny, because nice people do feel bad about every mistake they make. That's what makes them a nice person.
That's such an oxymoron. Because you really believe that you were a nice person and deserving of goodness, then you wouldn't be beating yourself up.
Thank you. So that's why it says, if I can learn how to react to the things that I do without getting mad at myself, this is another very important point. We must let go of the idea that we're trying to put love, truth, goodness in us. That we're going to read into books until we feel ourselves so we're so full of love. No, it doesn't work like that. You are love. It's already in you. It's what you are. You don't have to put it in you. You have to get rid of what's keeping you from seeing it and feeling it. And that's what we need to understand. Everything we want that would heal everything in our lives is already in us, covered up by our belief system. But we defend our belief system because we identify with our belief system, so now we think we are what we think we are. Right?
Yes.
And then we defend it.
Yes.
And the only way you can defend what you think you are is to oppose any ideas to the contrary. And that's why it's so hard for us to change. We think we are what we think we are, and we defend it with all our might. And the Course is saying, you aren't what you think you are. You are. And your you are, that love in you, if you'd ever let it out, it would draw relationships to you so fulfilling it would blow your mind. The love in you, if you'd ever let it out, would attract more abundance than you would ever need. The love in you will attract to you everything that you need if it could ever get out. So what's the Course saying? Well, how do I let the love get out? Well, it says, well, first of all, buddy, you got to admit you wrong.
Uh-huh.
And my New Age ego goes, there is no wrong. Everything is nothing wrong. Don't use the word wrong. Like, you know what I'm saying? My New Age stuff. Don't say wrong. Every direction is right. Everything is perfect. It all works. It's so funny. You don't have time enough to try all directions. You'll be dead first. You don't have time enough for all directions to be right. Yeah, you can go downtown by way of China, but dog, that's a long time. You know, yeah, you could go all the way west to go back around east, but why not just go across the street? I could get over there by going that way to the point that I go all the way around the world and come back up behind that house. Or somebody could say, you know, that's wrong to go that way. The right way would be to cross the street. But I'm so addicted to not even hearing the word wrong that I take myself on endless, stupid, long journeys unnecessarily. because my ego is so big that it can't stand nothing telling me that my interpretations might be incorrect. That's how big my ego is. I'd rather suffer forever than be wrong.
Yep.
I'm just talking about me. I'm not talking about you. Because he says if I talk about my ego, it dispels it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, most people hide their egos. They don't want you to know about their ego. But then you see it later anyway. You know you do. You get to know them. You see their ego.
Oh, yeah.
You, all you got to do is get into a personal relationship. You see the ego. You get past the personal representative. This is what you meet at first. This is Earl's representative. Hi. You know what I'm saying? We all got our representative that shows up. You know what I'm saying? It's like that first date. There's none of the representatives meeting. That's all. I wouldn't believe a thing nobody told me on the first date.
So it rolls?
Yes.
Okay, if the goal is, or the goal or the gift is, that love works through me, what is the course's interpretation of love?
The course says it can't tell you what love is, but it can tell you what love isn't. Okay, it's not fear, it's not guilt, it's not attack, it's not sickness, it's not lack, it's not jealousy, it's not possessiveness, it's not death, it's not sick. You know what I'm saying? He says by hearing what is not, you get some idea of what it is. But the few times that it does say love is, one of the main words to say is the one that's like pouring water on the Wicked Witch and the Wizard of Oz is freedom. When you said freedom to the ego, it goes, I'm melting. You know, because the human being can't deal with freedom. Freedom is the scariest concept in the world to the ego mind. So, because we think love means limitation. And we think love means limitation and exclusion and separation. Oh, if I love you, I separate you, I exclude you, I limit you. You better not go out there. You say, I love you, I separate you, I exclude you, and I limit you.
Right.
I love you. That's ego love. We can do that.
We can do it well.
We can do that well. Yeah. I'm an ego love expert. You need some help? I can help you out. You need any help on ego love? I'm your man. Now, that Holy Spirit stuff, you might have to check with somebody else in the class. You know,
yes.
It's almost like we don't even feel safe to love until we think the love object is totally limited.
Yeah.
To our rules. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So can we assume that if we admit we're wrong and go to the Spirit, can we assume that the correct love will pour out?
If I can really get to the point that I stop condemning myself for my mistakes, then the truth that's already in me, the God that's already in me,
you got to trust that
it will begin to function through you. When you start to see that happen in your life, it will freak you out because it sounds like a nice theory in here. But when you actually start doing this stuff, and then you start watching these miraculous healings of perception or the circumstance start to happen, then you won't need any more convincing. You'll just be trying to get let go of more and more stuff. Like, that's where I am right now. It's like, I do not spend any hours of the day debating about whether or not the Course in Miracles is true anymore. I spend all my day trying to let go of all the blocks I can that day to let Spirit work through me. I long time ago stopped trying to go through the credibility, can I figure this, analyze the Course stuff. Because I know that's just a waste of time. It's nothing but a waste of time. But it's one of those things that you can say that a million times to people when they first get in the Course, and it won't do any good because you have to analyze until you realize that the analyzation ain't the way. And that's just a personal thing. But everybody reaches that point with the Course. And they don't realize that the reason why they're analyzing and the reason why they see the contradictions and the reason why they see the paradoxes in the Course is because you're afraid of it. He says when you're afraid of what it's trying to get you to do, then all your mind is going to do is come up with everything it can to see the contradictions in what it's saying so that you will stop because you are afraid to change. And you're afraid to open your mind, and you're afraid to let another way come in. And the best justification for doing that is to look for flaws in the thought system that would keep you from applying it. So at the very beginning, our ego is so frightened by this material that it spends all of its time trying to find holes in it so that you will stop going in this direction so that your old self can survive. Trust me on that one. That's what's happening in the beginning. And so I have to let people go through that in the beginning. Because that's normal to go through that in the beginning with the Course in Miracles. That's why I've been working with the book so heavy. You notice all I'm doing today is just re-saying over and over again what this section said. I want people to come to my Course in Miracles class and really hear the Course in Miracles. You know, I want to really work out of this book because it works. It really, really works. Like if you were to walk out of here today and you didn't remember anything but reality has not been taken off the throne by your mistakes, you would have won today. If you could walk out of here today knowing that no matter what mistakes you make, God still is in charge, you have more peace today. If you could walk out of here today hoping that you're wrong when you're mad and upset. You've made a big leap today. Because when you think about it, why would you want to be right about everything that makes you miserable? Hello? Could you please answer that? Why would you want... my financial situation is the worst financial situation it's ever been. Why would you want to be right about that? You know what I mean? That's what the book is saying. What you should say, if you're saying something like, my financial situation is the worst financial situation I've ever been in, boy, my interpretation of my financial situation must really be wrong. See, now you just healed your financial situation in more ways than you could ever imagine. You told the truth about how you felt. You said, I feel like my financial situation really sucks, right? I wasn't in repression, right? But then I followed it up with the truth. And so this interpretation must be wrong. Because my Creator would never created that I had nothing but lack in my life. My Creator wouldn't created that there wasn't any love in my life. My Creator wouldn't created that I had a job that I hated. My Creator wouldn't create a situation that makes me feel horrible and unhappy. So if I'm in a situation like that, the book is saying, just say I've made an interpretation that's not true. Because then the universe can help you, because you're not adamant about being right more than being happy. Because it's all a free will thing. So if you don't want to be wrong and you want to be right, then the universe is going to back up whatever you want. So it'll look like you're right. And you'll look like you got the worst financial situation you could ever be. And you'll be like mad at God, and you actually are experiencing the power of God in your lack. Because the power of God is what you're misapplying to create this lack in your life by being a creator saying, I believe that all I have is lack, and all the laws of God go, woof, yes. And you get a chance to see it right in front of your face. And the Course is saying, but now take the next step. Don't get mad at yourself for doing that. And realize that the abundance still is there. It rules forever. And whatever you try to do to block it, you can't stop what's really real. He says, that's the idea that will get you past the block. If you will apply it. And my ego goes, no, I'm not going to apply it. I want to analyze it. What could possibly be wrong with the idea that no matter how broke I think I am, my wealth will prevail? I wish somebody would tell me the problem with that thought. Anybody got a problem with that thought?
No.
Anybody got a problem with that thought?
No.
It's risky.
Well,
how is it risky? Tell me how you think it's risky.
Yeah.
Good. How do you think it's risky?
Good.
Because if you notice, we weren't exactly jumping up and down with thrill when we were saying that. Okay. So, okay. Why is it risky? Who else knows why it's risky? Why do you think it's risky
to
say?
You have to let change happen.
You have to let change happen.
You have to let go of your old belief system.
I had to let go of my old belief system.
It might happen again.
That we think works and is killing us.
It is working. It's killing us.
Yeah.
That's what it was. The Course says, do you know that that's what these rules that we made up were made up for? When I read that in the book, he said, the rules you obey were made to kill you. That is what obeying the rules of the world does. What do you think death comes from? It comes from this world, the rules of this world, the beliefs of this world, the ideas of this world. And I was like, well, I don't like no book being that straight up with me. So, people put this book down. They don't want no book to tell you, well, you died because you're killing yourself. They want to hear something real nicey. And I don't want to hear it that way no more. I want to hear the hardcore, to the point, tell me what the friggin' is happening truths. And that's what the people that come to my class want to hear. Even if they don't like it, even if they make them mad, they come back anyway. Y'all know y'all been left here mad sometimes, you still come back. Or you don't understand, or you feel disoriented, or you still come back. Because there's a part of you that wants to hear it now. Just wants to hear it straight. And that's what I'm excited about, because that means we're going to go to a level of study and a level of consciousness that we've never gone to together as a group. Yeah.
Earl, I look at people's lives. I look at people who, like my parents, of course, and like, but they're having financial problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at, they're having financial problems.
Mm-hmm.
And it's baffling to me that I'm like, well, I guess it doesn't work then, huh?
Why would you maintain didn't work because they have financial problems?
Well, no, I mean, just people's lives, who mm-hmm. I think are in spiritually aligned.
Yeah, but the truth is, everybody is showing you only two things. They're only demonstrating you what to do or what not to do in order to be happy. Mm-hmm. That's really what's happening. You better believe that the person who's experiencing lack is totally, completely obeying the laws of poverty. Mm-hmm. And they're giving you a physical example of what happens when you obey the laws of poverty. And when you listen to how they think and you listen to what they do and you listen to their attitudes, you're listening to the attitudes that produce poverty.
And it just baffles me that I'm doing this to myself. I can see myself sabotaging myself by thinking.
Well, Tina just told us, the reason why you're doing that to yourself is that you're confusing your interpretations with the truth.
Right.
That's why you're doing it to yourself.
Right.
Because you are taking your interpretations of what is going on and you're saying that they're the truth. And like people ask that question, why would I do that to myself? Because I'm addicted to having my interpretations be true. Because I'm addicted to the way I feel and see things.
Yeah.
That's why.
That projected well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last week, you talked about, a lot of times we don't know what has value even.
Right.
So maybe, we're just confused, like maybe somebody who's in financial poverty doesn't necessarily mean that they don't know what's of value or that we understand that that's
Okay.
We're just confused.
Thank you. That's, which is why lesson 3 or 4 is I do not understand anything I see. That's why the workbook says it. It says you won't even get to an enlightened mind until you understand that you don't understand. That's the first thing. Your first problem is that you think you understand. And so he said, how can I know I don't understand? The reason why you know you don't understand is because you feel irritation and upset and fear with yourself. That you don't have to go any further than that. That means you don't understand. And so if I would admit that I didn't understand, he says, then you can be taught. Because then you can be shown the way out. And I want to be shown the way out. I don't want to figure out the way out. Anybody else? I'm ready to be. Yeah. I much rather be shown where the bathroom is rather than, listen, I got to go real bad. then for me to run all over the church trying to find the toilet. But that's where we are. It's like, I'm going to run all over the church trying to find the toilet, and that's me figuring all this out by myself. And the book is saying, God could show you where the toilet is.
Right.
You know, you could be shown where the right relationship is. You could be shown where the perfect job is. You could be shown what your talents are. You could be shown what you like to be shown. Yes. Well, what I have to do to be shown? Well, first of all, stop condemning yourself for your mistakes. Stop feeling upset with yourself for having normal human feelings that you're going to have when you're misperceiving things. It's normal to feel lousy if you're misperceiving things. So your natural reactions of unhappiness are natural reactions to erroneous thinking. You're really being normal. It's normal to be miserable if you're thinking miserable thoughts. So that's okay. That's all right. Don't beat yourself up about that. It's normal. It's normal to feel the way you feel when you think like you think. Okay? It's normal. So don't condemn yourself for feeling the way a person feels when they think the way you think. It's deep. This book is deep. Woo! Take one more. Then I'm going to crank it down. Yeah.
My problem is when I change, I actually feel like I'm dying.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Quite scary.
That's great, man. That's wonderful. He talks about that. He says we react to the destruction of our thought system as if we were going to die.
That's right.
Right. And then he says because we identify with it. We don't realize what we believe. When I ask you who you are, all you give me is a conglomeration of beliefs and experiences that you've had. That's all you do. When you say it's you, all you do is just give me your thoughts about stuff. And you say it's you. And the book is saying that ain't you. That's just a collection of your experiences that you remember that's not actually very accurately that you're calling yourself. Because the you calling yourself 5 years ago, you would say you're not that self right now. Right? And everybody in the room would say, I'm not the same self I was 5 years ago. Well, you know, you're going to say that about this one sitting up in here 5 years from now. So why don't you just save yourself some time and say it's not you right now? You know? Wouldn't that make more sense? You know you're going to do it. 5 years from now, you're going to swear that the one sitting up in here is not really you. You almost go, I can't even imagine how even was like that. You know, just like when you look back on that. So the Course is saying, I'm trying to tell you, what you think you are is an illusion. It's just something you've made up, but you do have an actual identity that's not what you made up, that was created by God And I go, wow, that's deep. And he says, yeah. And if you were to get in touch with that identity would heal all your problems.
Do we all have the same identity?
Yeah, we all got the same identity. There's one of us here.
We're all innocent.
Yeah, there's one of us here looking like there's a whole lot of us to entertain ourselves. But somehow or another, we got all screwed up and now we hate each other. It was supposed to be fun. Something happened. I don't know. And he's like, we are the original Humpty Dumpties. You know what I'm saying? We the one thing shattered into a million different pieces, playing like it's separate for a while, feeling guilty about it. And so the court says, don't get mad. You're here to learn how to not get mad at yourself about your ego. Don't take this to mean that I'm telling you that you're supposed to try not to be angry for the rest of your life. Or is your ego tricking you? That's not what I said today. I said God's teacher's major lesson is to learn how to react to magic thoughts, ego thoughts, without anger. I'm learning how to do that, which means I might not be able to do it all the time completely, because I'm learning how to do that. So since I'm learning, then when I don't pull it off all day, it's okay, because I'm learning how to be a peaceful person, which means I'm not going to be peaceful all the time. So don't get in a relationship with me thinking I'm going to be peaceful all the time. You know, people say, well, you've been studying the course all this time and you still get mad. Look, it ain't nothing like I used to 25 years ago. You better believe that, so don't be judging me. You know what I'm saying? It's all relative.
Earl, what do you tell them?
What's that?
What do you tell them?
I tried to tell them that it's all relative compared to 25 years ago. I've much improved. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I'm saying. But you all are so loved and you're so powerful that there's nothing you can do that can take God away from being in charge of this situation or keep love from ruling. If you made a mistake, you need to forgive yourself, because a mistake is not a sin. It's just a misperception that you had in that situation. And you're learning. And since you're learning, you really ought to be proud of yourself, because at least you're the people who are trying to accept it for yourselves, even though you know you have some lessons to learn. And since we have each other, we can save each other so much time, because by joining together, we have shortened the time immeasurably until we realize the truth about ourselves, because we joined, which is the whole point of the whole thing anyway. Okay. So I'm going to stop here. I've been amazed at the lessons that I've learned from just observing people who are cool students. It's been such a great learning experience for me. You know what the biggest illusion is of all that I could reduce all these classes I've done? The biggest illusion of all is that we're different. That's the big. The one thing I've seen more than anything else is how alike we all are. It's so funny that we think we're so different, and all we do is have the exact same reactions at different times. That's all we do. We have the exact same responses, but we do it at different times, and so we tell each other that we're different from each other. You jealous today. I was jealous yesterday. I don't relate to your jealousy today. I don't feel jealous today. So I think I'm different from you. You see what I'm saying? I'm afraid about something. You afraid about something else. So I think we're different because we got different fears. But it's still fear. So it's the same. You know? So it's really, 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 really awesome to know that, because after a while, you have incredible intuition about your relationships. Because you'll know what you're going to experience with the person. You'll know if they're afraid. You know exactly what the chain of reason is going to be with that person and what they're going to do. And if they're loving, the Course teaches you exactly what a loving person does and how a loving person acts. That's what the book teaches you. It teaches you how to tell when you're walking up on fear and how to tell when you're walking up on love. Because if you can make the right choice, you save yourself so much time. Don't you think so? If you can make the right choice in the beginning, wouldn't that be so much easier than making the wrong choice and then trying to process your way out of it, forgive your way out of it, figure yourself, you know? And so if you are stuck in something that you want to get out of, just don't condemn yourself for making the mistake of getting in it in the first place. Then the healing can come through you to get you out of the situation. So stop condemning yourself for the mistakes. Okay? All right. I'll see y'all next time. Thank you. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we got a great Thursday class and a great 1 o'clock class on Sunday.
Thank you. Thank you. As always.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
I can't remember.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to stop confusing myself.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?